Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And that's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out. Here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay, breaking down everything in the world of mixed martial arts, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and Onnit. You can find the Onnit supplements online at onnit.com. Make sure you check them out on Twitter and Facebook as well. And you can check us out on wowmmashow.com. That's where you can get us on Twitter, on Facebook, and download all of the podcasts if you miss anything week in and week out. And it has been a crazy week. I was excited enough with the results of the fight on Saturday, but lo and behold, Nick Diaz and George St. Pierre wanted to start their own sitcom, so we will talk about that. Plus, Fox made the official announcement for Fox Sports 1. We will talk about that. Anthony Anjokwani is in town, so he's going to stop by and talk about the way the landscape has changed for a fighter and kind of how they have to look at their contractual employment with the UFC. All of that to come, but first, we start in Japan. And as Ken and I and Sean alluded to, Wanderlei Silva in Japan is bad news for everybody. Especially Brian Stann.
Yeah, and it's especially bad news if you're going to go in there and stand and bang with Wanderlei Silva. If you're going to go in and try to out-Silva Silva, it's going to be a hell of a fight to watch. I don't know a lot of guys in either 205 or 185 that are going to come out on top, though, when they do that.
And what's fascinating to me is that you look at a performance like that where in the first round you clearly saw Wanderlei get rocked three times.
Oh, yeah.
Least.
Oh, yeah. Both the guys in the first couple rounds. It only went, down to a minute left in the second?
Yes.
But you saw they both just, it was like rock'em sock'em robots is what it looked like in there. The guys just would go down, I'll stand up. We're going to punch, go down, stand up, punch. It was an amazing fight to watch from that perspective to see how tough both guys were. Even Brian Stann, I know he lost by KO in the second, but how tough those guys were to take those punches. I don't know what Brian Stann was trying to do. I don't. It was entertaining as hell. I loved watching the fight. But, I mean, seriously, what was he trying to do? That's one of the only ways left for Wanderlei Silva to win. He is in, clearly, the twilight of his career. You know, he's not going to take you down a whole lot. He's not going to try to sub you anymore. Hell, he's not even throwing the kicks and some of the punches that he used to throw. But if he gets to stand in there and throw right hook, left hook, which is essentially what he does,
yep,
He's going to be able to catch it. And, I give Brian Stann credit. If you would have told me that fight was going to go the way it did, I would have told you Brian Stann was going to lose in the first 90 seconds. And he withstood some punches. Wanderlei Silva withstood some punches. It was a lot of fun to watch. And I know it was Brian Stann's first time at 205, what, in 3 years?
6 years, actually.
Oh, 6 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Wow. So,
sorry, it's 4 years. You're right. We're right in the same
again, thing. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what the impetus was for the move other than you're going to be in a main event, you're going to be on Fuel. I mean, they did, what, 800,000 people
yes.
watching
yeah.
Fuel?
Right.
My goodness. I mean,
they should have kept Pride.
Well, I mean, as long as they can keep running events like this and you've got guys fighting for their jobs, you might see fights like this. But, I mean, was this a dumb move, I want to ask, for Brian Stann? He ends up with the loss. Does Dana White look at this situation and go, hey, you lost, but you lost a hell of a fight, and you went out there, and you stood, and you banged with a guy, and you had a hell of a main event? I don't know. Who picked up Fight of the Night on the card?
I don't think that was them.
No, I don't think they picked up Fight of the Night. Let me see if I can.
I think Struve and Hunt got Fight of the Night.
So Struve and Hunt got Fight of the Night. No, Fight of the Night was Silva Stann.
Oh, was it?
Yep, Knockout of the Night was Mark Hunt and Wanderlei Silva. He gave away two.
I knew it was something weird. But
two
yeah.
bonuses, and there were no subs in Japan, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope, just
in
standing and
all
banging.
Of the fights.
Right.
So yeah, maybe it was contagious. Just something in the water in Japan.
Well, to get back to your question, what do you do with Brian Stann? I don't think this is a fight for your job fight. I think Brian Stann, in my opinion, Ken, is one of those guys like a Josh Koscheck who has become a bit of a company guy. He's great on Fox, so they certainly want a guy like that who's on Fox. We'll talk about it a little bit later on, but they just signed Bisping to a 3-year deal to be on Fox as well, doing Fuel stuff. So I think, you know, this is not one that I think injures you. Brian Stann, I surmised it best in that it's great to have idolized Wanderlei for so long and now be a part of that landscape to Wanderlei Silva. I would love to see Wanderlei stop at this point because I think anything else is...
Any guy who walks in there and doesn't do what Brian Stann does really gives Wanderlei very little chance unless they're a lower-tier fighter, which he could easily keep doing that. I don't think by any means is anybody looking at this fight, Eric, and going, Brian Stann, boy, you lost. You got to go.
No.
But what we could be looking at, depending on where he goes and who he fights next, I mean, you've got 3 out of 4 losses right now. He goes and he loses another fight. We're going to say he lost 4 out of 5. Doesn't, and at that point, nobody will be talking about the fact that he had a hell of a war with Wanderlei Silva and was able to be part of a fight of the night in Japan. We'll be talking about 4 out of 5 losses. I'm looking ahead here, and I'm wondering if some of these fighters maybe shouldn't be doing that. Again, I was entertained, and I would love for the UFC to make sure that they take that into consideration, and I think they will, but the guy loses another fight. Maybe he loses one, wins one. Wins one, loses one. We start to look at that whole 6-fight record or that 7-fight record. Well, he's lost 5 out of 7 now. We forget that one of those was a hell of a fight with Wanderlei Silva. But and if the numbers come down to it, I don't know. Is this about wins anymore? Is this about being exciting?
I don't know, but like, what do you do to that point? What do you do with a guy like Clay Guida, who that's exactly what he does? He wins one, he loses one. He wins two, he loses two.
I keep him. If I'm the UFC, I make sure I keep and pay attention to what's going on with these guys. And a guy like Brian Stann, I'm not saying it's going to hurt him and we get a couple more losses on his record, maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying he's going to lose his next fight. I don't even know what weight class he wants to fight in next or where he's going to go. What I am saying is that I would hate to see a guy go in with a plan like Brian Stann that's not Brian Stann and end up losing his job 2 fights down the road because maybe he's a guy at the top of that Fuel TV card when it's a prelim and not a main event. Maybe he's the guy that's at the end of the Facebook fights and he's trying to have a hell of a fight and he goes in there and bangs, ends up getting KO'd in the 2nd round by an opponent that maybe he could have wrestled to the ground and won a fight with. I'm not complaining about the ground game. I'm not that guy.
Right.
But I'm not quite Nick Diaz, who we're going to hear from later in the show,
right,
yelling about wrestlers on the ground. But I do think there needs to be an element of excitement in these fights that some of these fighters can easily game plan out of. And I look at this fight with Brian Stann and Wanderlei Silva, and it was interesting. I'm sitting in the moment watching the fight, and I'm wondering, oh, what's this going to do for them looking at all these cuts and everything? I'm thinking about that now as a fan because they are cutting a lot of guys, and you have to think wins, losses, and eventually – even though this is a fight of the night, this is a loss for him. And in 2 or 3 fights, we're going to look back and not probably remember that it was fight of the night. We're going to look at a record that says he's 4 losses out of the past 6 fights or something along those lines if he were to lose the next fight or two in his career.
And then the co-main event, speaking of people that I also hope don't lose their job, Mark Hunt proves that he wanted really badly to get submitted by Stefan Struve, and Stefan Struve proved that he really, really badly wanted to have his jaw broken in half. Looks like Stefan Struve got what he wanted. He had his jaw broken in half by Mark Hunt. And to me, and this is saying a lot given the main event, to me, that was the craziest fight of the night because it was like Mark Hunt got mounted twice by Stefan Struve and somehow rolled out of all of that and was able to enact this body punch flying hook combo however many times he wanted to do it until eventually he breaks Stefan Struve's jaw.
It was an interesting fight to watch because when you hear Stefan Struve walking into this fight, I liked his attitude. If you're going to go in against a guy like Mark Hunt, you have to have an attitude. You're not going to beat me. I'm a young man. I'm a stud. I'm a Hunt. I'm 265 pounds. I'm 7 feet tall. What are you, crazy? You're going to beat me? You can't go in with that attitude, though, if you're going to be tired in 2 minutes, which it looked like Stefan Struve was gassed. He couldn't finish anything. I think he went for, you said that you thought maybe, was it the 2nd round he went for that armbar?
Yeah, arm that armbar was terrible.
You thought that was desperation. You think he might have cracked that jaw well before that, and he wanted to end the fight and try to finish it there.
Yeah,
and a tough performance from Stefan Struve.
I just think, Ken, when you look at the x-ray, and it's on our Facebook page if you want to find it at Wow Show, if you look at the x-ray, that just doesn't look like something that happens on a single punch. It looks like something that, if you go back and look at the fight, Mark Hunt's essentially hitting the exact same spot over and over.
Oh, and he's good at that, too. And he did the same thing with the body on the right side.
Yep.
I mean, Mark Hunt's very good at that. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows if you hit a guy in the same spot over and over again, it's a lot better to do that 5 times than to hit him 20 times all over the place.
Right. And so when I was telling you as the fights were going on, when he went for that sloppy armbar, my guess is that his jaw is jacked at that point and he just can't put the pain down enough to actually set up the armbar because Stefan Struve's submissions are top-notch. And so to see a sloppy armbar like that, indicated to me that he was already on the path of being hurt.
Well, I mean, you say it's sloppy, but let's remember, Mark Hunt's got a lot of experience in there, and he wouldn't have been able to get out of those positions a couple of times if he wasn't decent on the ground. I mean, he's got that thing going for him too. He's got a stranger body type for a heavyweight. It's he's not the most fit looking guy in the world.
No.
And there's not a lot of guys you can roll with that kind of have that core strength the way he does and that weird weight distribution. So I think all of that played into the fact that he was able to counter Stefan Struve. I think that Stefan was gassed. I think Mark was gassed too, obviously, in the fight.
And that's an issue for him. And we talked early in the week when the news broke of Overeem being injured and out of the JDS fight that Mark Hunt would be a possible contender. Now, there's some disagreement between Mark Hunt and Dana White. Dana White came out yesterday and said that Mark Hunt passed on the fight. Mark Hunt said that he was never offered the fight and didn't pass on it.
But passed on which fight?
On fighting Junior Dos Santos as opposed to Alistair Overeem. So it looks like we're still going to get JDS Overeem later on in the summer. It's something with his quadricep, I guess, a minor tear in the quadricep for Overeem that he's going to have to get fixed and get back into camp.
I don't know. I hope that goes well for him. I don't know if he knows any doctors or not, so...
You might know a couple.
Yeah.
A couple other fights on that card to pay attention to. Diego Sanchez stealing a win over Gomi because I don't think he won that fight.
I'm not sure. I honestly that was one of those fights where I got to the end. I don't care if you lose. You both should have done more to win this fight. One of those.
Sure. No doubt.
I probably agree with you. I just didn't know. Was this supposed to be a catch weight? Did I miss something?
No,
he missed weight.
Couldn't make it down. Lost, I think, $20,000 on the miss.
Okay.
So, I mean, it wasn't expensive.
Because it ended up being at 158. They caught it at, and Gomi was obviously lighter than that because he made weight.
Yes.
So that was an interesting scenario. I just, man, Takanori Gomi, I thought he should win the fight, but man, I didn't think that performance was great, especially against Diego Sanchez, who wasn't able to make weight and who was probably very, very tired from the trip and trying to make weight at the last minute. I mean, this was a setup situation. This should have almost been a highlight for Takanori Gomi in that fight, for him to fight in his home country. And, I just wasn't impressed. He's one of those guys I look at, where do you go with this guy now?
Well, yes, certainly. And, you know, as they're making these cards, they clearly wanted this to be a standout fight, being in the middle, kind of a placeholder to get you excited for the two fights above it. Mm-hmm. And you had just gone through Kim and Okami essentially just holding both of their opponents on the ground for 15 straight minutes. So, you know, I think everybody was looking for more. So we might be hypercritical to the performances, given the fact that we had 30 minutes of, you know, the holding down of Hector Lombard and the holding down of Badr Azada. But, neither one of these guys put on a great performance. However, I don't think Diego won that decision. And when we talk about Ken's new favorite subject, which guy gets to keep his job, if you're Hector Lombard, you've got to be scared to death at this point.
Yeah, Hector Lombard is an interesting case, too, and I don't know his contract details, but, I mean, he was a case where he's a guy that was brought in essentially to be one of those fighters that might be able to get to Anderson Silva. It's not happening.
No.
That's what he was supposed to. All he would have had to have done in that first fight is had a nice convincing win. I wouldn't have been surprised to see him in there with Silva in one or two fights, obviously, because Anderson Silva would have liked that fight, too, because he's not a real contender.
Sure.
And, you know.
Right. Right. You know, all of that sort of stuff.
We'll get into that later with him and Ed Soares. But I don't know what you do with Hector Lombard. He I think that's as bad as he's looked in the UFC. And
well,
he's supposed to be getting better.
And what's crazy about that, Ken, is so you're clearly down 0-2. And
I don't think he had anything in him in that third round, though. I don't think he could do it in that third round.
But, well, okay, if that's the case, it might be different. But to me, it just seems like not only is he not putting on these stellar performances we wanted to see in the UFC, but his fight IQ is terrible because he's fighting in that third round as if he's won one of these other two rounds, which he clearly did not win either one of those rounds. And that, if you stick around, you've got to change that fight IQ and understand that when you have a chance to end Okami, you have to do that.
And he had a couple opportunities. I just didn't see it in him in that third round. He looked like he was outclassed. He looked like it might have been his first UFC fight, and obviously that's not the case.
Yes. You don't get two shots at the UFC jitters.
Oh, that's especially in your third fight. It's your third fight. It's not even your second fight.
Okay, and when we come back, probably the best part of the show, GSP and Nick Diaz have started their own sitcom of two not well-matched roommates who will yell at each other about their ways that they live their lives.
Let me tell you something, you uneducated fool.
It will happen next. It's On Way of the Warrior.